Hebrews 13. Gotta get a little drink here. Hebrews 13. I should, you know, right after we sing, I should have you stay standing and then go right to the scripture, because you sit down, you get comfortable, and then I'm going to say, stand up, please. But think about that. It's you know, it's a little bit better exercise for you, you know, sitting to standing, to sitting to standing. Those of you that used to be Catholics, you feel right at home, right? You're not kneeling where somewhere. Stand, sit. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, let's start reading in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 9. Hebrews 13, 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. What a blessing, Lord, to be able to have a copy of your word. Lord, we praise you for that, and thank you, Lord, for this blessed book that we have. Lord, we just pray now that you bless as we have a time, as we look through the Word of God at some things. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures would have a part here today. We ask, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you would help me to bring the message today. Lord, bless and be with each and every one of us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is a sermon in every one of these verses. As I've been reading them, and he's just looking at them here, reading them just now. I mean, there is a sermon in every verse. But I want us to focus primarily on verse 8 today. In verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, when we look at that verse and we think about that verse, primarily we look at that scripture as the unchanging Jesus Christ. And that's true. That is a spiritual and a scriptural truth in that. Christ never changes, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we look at this world, and things are changing dramatically around us. Things are changing fast around us. Our government, our educational system, just people going through this virus and all of the different things that we've been going through. This world is changing. Things are changing. And things are changing around us all the time. We can look at other things. I mean, nature and landscapes change. And maybe where you grew up, that's not there anymore. I mean, where I grew up, it's totally different. When we were just little tiny kids living in a little trailer, that's gone, and the land has been turned to farmland. And the house that I grew up in, now it's a horse farm. You know, things change over time. I mean, we live in changing times, right? Jesus never changes. Praise God. He doesn't change. You and I change every day, right? I mean, we change emotionally. We change physically. We change spiritually. We're always changing ourselves. You have good days and you have blah days, right? I mean, we all go through those things. We have... We feel like we're on top of the mountain today, and tomorrow morning we'll be in the valley. I mean, we change like New York's weather at times. But Christ never changes. He's never changed, and he'll never change. The Lord's always been the same, and he'll always be the same. We can count on him Today we can count on him 20 years from now if we're not in heaven by then. We can count on the Lord all the time. He never changes. But I want to take a little different turn on that verse. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to talk just briefly here this morning about the ministry of Christ, his past ministry, his present ministry, and his future ministry. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I want to get into that a little bit as we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, because that verse is dealing with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The plans that God had in eternity past for this world and for you and I has never changed. You and I bring changes to our own life. Sometimes we follow the Lord and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do His will, sometimes we do our will. I mean, that's just kind of the way life is around us. But I want to get into this a little bit about the past ministry of Christ, the present ministry, and the future ministry of Christ, because we're looking at yesterday, today, and we're looking at forever. So we'll take a look at the first one here, of course, is yesterday, his past ministry. Do you ever think about what God was doing before he created the world, before he created the sun and the moon and the stars? Before he created all of the solar system, I mean, what did God do before that? Did you ever think about that? I mean, you don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. But with God, there is no time. He's eternity past. He's eternity future. And with the Lord, with God, the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they have always been. Christ was not created. Holy Spirit was not created. They've always been there because they're God, and God has always been. But Christ had no beginning because Christ is God. He had no beginning whatsoever. So he didn't have a starting point like you and I. We had a starting point. We had a beginning. And this earth had a beginning, and water had a beginning, and the sun had a beginning, and all these things had a beginning. But God never had a beginning. Christ never had a beginning. But we go back into the past. We'll just kind of zoom back in time a little ways, about 6,000 years, when God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1. That's, according to our Bible, that's the first thing that we see that God has been involved in, and what the Lord has been involved in is the creation of everything that we see. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In that one verse, we have time, we have space, and we have matter. God created time, space, and matter. Everything that we see, everything we experience revolves around those three things. Time, space, and matter. God, Jesus Christ, created the world. He created everything that we see. And so the creation of God is where we see a start in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so for 6 days, God creates everything that we know of. Creates the stars, the sun, the moon, the oceans, all of the water. He creates the grass, he creates trees, he creates vegetation, he creates everything that we see. Everything is grown now, and everything multiplies now based upon God's initial creation. And so that's what we think. When I think about the past ministry of Christ, the very first thing that I think about is his creation ministry. Nothing evolved. I don't believe in evolution at all. I know that's what's being taught in the schools and colleges, but I don't believe in evolution. I believe what the Bible says. Day one, there was light. Day two, there was a firmament. Day three, there was the dry land and seas. Day four, we have the sun and the moon and the stars. Day five, we got the fish, the birds, the whales, and everything like that. Day six, we have the land animals, and we have man being created on day six. And God says, I'm going to rest on day seven, which he does. And so we see in Genesis chapter 1, we see the preparation of God. He is preparing the world and the universe for him. And then in chapter 2, we have the program of God in chapter 2. We have God now taking that creation, the 6 days of creation, and now he's coming down to a little bit more. He's creating the Garden of Eden. He's created man. He's created woman. He's given man life. In verse 7, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He plants the garden in the east of Eden, and we all know the story of that. We have the laws of thermodynamics taking place. Here in chapter 2, we have everything that we know that has been created by God. Amen. That is his past ministry. And then unfortunately, chapter 3 comes along and man brings an end to God's wonderful plan that he had designed for man. And so God now has to take a different step. Man brings sin into the world by his own volition. Man decided to do that. Adam and Eve, of course, you know what happened there. And so God had to come up with a redemption plan for man because man fell into sin. And when everybody, every human being has been born, they're born as a sinner. That's how you're born. You're born as a sinner. You are born separated from God. And it takes the redemptive work of Christ to bring you back into fellowship with God again. And your only hope for heaven, to go to heaven, to be in the presence of God, is to be saved prior to death. You must be saved before you die. How much time do you have here on planet Earth? You hope that you have plenty of time to take care of that if you're not saved. But you don't know how much time you have. I've not been given a calendar of my life here on planet Earth. Terry Fenton's going to live, you know, I don't have that. I don't know the day I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. I may go into rapture. I'm hoping for that. But we don't know. We don't have that calendar. We don't have the program designed to know exactly what day we're going to leave planet Earth. It may be programmed with God that today is the day you leave planet Earth. And so you have to be prepared before you leave. Because once you leave, it's too late. As a lost person, you cannot come into the fellowship with God. You cannot come into his presence in heaven. You have to be saved beforehand. And so creation is the starting point that we as a human being sees, even though Christ never had a beginning and he was involved in things way before that. It's just that we see from the scriptural standpoint, we see that the beginning is the creation that God was involved in. We know according to Colossians and according to John chapter 1 that it was Jesus Christ that created the world. He spoke the world into being. That amazes me that God could just speak and here it is. This huge planet, the huge sun, all the stars. He can just speak that and they're there. Man can do some amazing things, but it takes man time in order to develop whatever it is that man is going to make through an invention or through whatever. And so we have this past ministry of Jesus Christ. Then we have the changing of the languages at Babel. People wonder, well, why do we have so many languages in the world? Well, it was because that man thought he was smarter than God and he wanted to worship the stars and worship the heavens and not worship God. And the entire world, according to Genesis chapter 11, was of one language. The whole earth, in verse 1, was of one language and of one speech. And that was a detriment at the time in which man was trying to reach God, but in a wrong, false way. The Bible tells us that literally that God had to go down. It says in verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. That's like an asphalt. That's a tar asphalt thing. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. I've underlined that throughout the Bible. Throughout, we see that let us make brick in verse 3, let us build in verse 4, let us make in verse 4, and God says, well, let us go down, and they're confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And that's exactly what God did. He went down and he just confounded every language. And so we've got some, you know, Chinese speaking people here. We got the Japanese speaking over here, the Koreans over there. We've got the Russians over here. We got the, you know, the English over here. We got all these different languages that God just instantly just changed. And so you're walking around and you're trying to understand. You can't understand anybody. And all of a sudden you hear somebody that you can understand. You're going to gravitate toward that person. And so God literally separated the different languages at that particular time. The Bible says when God said, let us go down, Christ was involved in that. The Holy Spirit was involved in that. God the Father was involved in that. Let us. It was plural. We're going to go down and we're going to take care of this matter. And so we can see that Christ had so much to do with the past. We see in chapter 12, the very next chapter, God is calling Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees to go and start a people that he wanted to have a plan with. And so God is calling, it was Christ that was calling Abraham from that particular place and told him to go to a place that he had picked out. And so we see the formation of the Hebrew people, the formation of the Jewish people. And so Christ was part of that. He was involved in that calling of Abraham. In Exodus chapter 3, we see that Jesus Christ met Moses at the burning bush. Who do you think was in the burning bush speaking? It was Jehovah. It was Jesus Christ. He was there, part of that, calling Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt after 430 years of bondage. And then we see that throughout the guidance through the wilderness, guess who led the Israelites through the wilderness? Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He was the pillar of fire by night. He was the cloudy pillar of during the day. It was Christ. He, the manna that came down and took care of all of the Israelites. The manna is a picture of Christ. The rock in which the water came out of is a picture of Christ. The water is a picture of Christ. Everything that happened in the wilderness, Christ was involved in. He allowed them to be safe. He allowed them a protection. He allowed their shoes not to wear out. He provided everything for them. It was the Lord that was guiding the Israelites through the wilderness. This is all the past ministry of Jesus Christ. And then it brings us up to the virgin birth of Christ. The virgin birth of Christ. He came to this world by the power of God. The Holy Spirit planted that seed of God in the womb of Mary, and now we have the virgin birth. He enters the world as a human being to be our redemption. As a human being, he came into this world as a human being. Now, don't try to wrap your brain around that. Your brain will, you can't do it. But he was 100% man, but he was also still 100% God. Yet he had the ability while he was here on planet Earth to separate those things as he needed to. That's, of course, he's God. He can do that. But he became all man for you and I. Because only a man could die for the sins of man and redeem us from our own sins. It took all of the Old Testament sacrifices, the lambs, the oxen, the goats, and all of those, even the pigeons, those were all a picture of what Christ was going to do. Those could not do anything for the sins of mankind except just put a covering over them. Christ came and removed our sins through the blood that he shed for us. And so he comes on the scene in a way that has never been seen before through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He enters this world as a human being. He goes through life, 33 and a half years, as a human being. He has to eat to nourish his body. He has to drink to take care of his body. He has emotion just like you and I. He has feelings like you and I. He was hurt physically like you and I. He was hurt spiritually and emotionally like you and I get hurt. He suffered everything for us as a human being. And they finally nail him to the cross, sheds his blood for us so we can have hope of eternal life. What a blessing. The miracles that he performed during his life to prove that he was God. Raising the dead, and giving eyesight to the blind, and hearing to the deaf, and be able to, the people that could not speak to be able to speak, and to heal the lepers, and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and disease, and to control, or have a complete control over nature, over the Sea of Galilee, and over the winds and storms. And, I mean, he proved that he was God when he was here. And then again, he dies on the cross for our salvation. He is buried in a tomb and he rises 3 days and three nights later. He ascends to heaven where he is right now. That's the past ministry of Jesus Christ. Then we look at today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. What is he doing today for us? Is he just ignoring you and doesn't care anything about you and doesn't tend to any of your needs? And is that the way the Lord is? Of course not. Jesus Christ, I've written seven things down that he is right now, today, for you and I. He's our advocate. You know what an advocate is? Go to 1 John chapter 2. What's an advocate? Somebody that is on your side. He's helping you. I like to refer to an advocate as somebody like a defense attorney. He's there for you. He's fighting on your behalf. He is there to root you on, to help you in every way that he possibly can. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John writes this, of course, to Christians. He's saying, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Period. That's God's will for you and me is not to sin. Amen. That's the will of God. John was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so God's will is that we not sin. But then he says this, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." And he tells us who the advocate is. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And again, that word advocate means one called alongside. He's right there with us at all times. So he's our advocate. Look at Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews 9 and 24. Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24. Again, this is the present ministry of Jesus Christ. "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself." What's the next word after the comma? "Now." Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now he's here, he's representing us, he's appearing in the presence of God, and he's doing it for us. Isn't that a blessing? To know that we have an advocate, we have somebody that now cares about us and loves us. He knows what's going on in your life. He cares about what's going on in your life. He wants to help you in your life. He's our advocate. He's there to help us. He's there to get us through the struggles of this world. He's there to remove our sins. Even when, as a Christian, if you sin through thought or word or deed or something, you go to him and you ask him to forgive you, and he forgives you of all your sin. What a blessing to know that the present ministry of Christ, he's our advocate. He's on our side. Folks, he's not against you. He's for you. He wants to see you succeed as a Christian. He wants to see you succeed, as we talked in Sunday school. You get saved, but that's not the end of it. Now you've got to grow as a Christian. And that's what the Lord is trying to do. He's trying to help you to grow as a Christian. He wants to see you grow as a Christian. Well, the next thing that I wrote down is an intercessor, which is very similar to an advocate, but somebody that goes in between. An intercessor is somebody in between God and us. Christ is our intercessor. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Romans 8, 34. Romans 8, 34. Romans 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." He makes intercession. He's our intercessor. What a blessing to know that he goes between God and us. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7 and verse 24. Hebrews 7, verse 24. Hebrews 7, 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he wants to save you. That's his desire. That's his goal, is to say he wants to save every human being that's on planet Earth. But he will not save anybody that doesn't want to be saved, that doesn't call upon the name of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't want to be saved, there's nothing the Lord can do except continue, hopefully, to convict you of your need to be saved. That's all he can do. The Holy Spirit convicts and tries to draw you to God. And then Jesus Christ is there when you are ready to call upon him to save you. He is there to save you. He's that intercessor between us and God. Our fellowship was broken with God when we were born as a sinner. When Adam and Eve sinned, the fellowship was broken. Man and God was separated. And the only way to bring man back to God is through Jesus Christ. It's through the cross. It's through the blood that he shed for us. So he's our intercessor. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Not only is he is our advocate, he's our intercessor, he's our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, 5. He's our mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'll say this gently, and I'll say it with love, but you don't need a man to go on your behalf to get you to God. You don't need a pastor, preacher, a priest, or a pope to get to God. You need to get to God, you get to God on your own. It's between you and the Lord. You can bow your head, you can pray without bowing your head, you can pray without closing your eyes, you can get in touch with the throne of grace just like that. You don't need to come to Pastor Fenton and confess your sins, and I can't forgive you of your sins in the face of God. I can't do it. If you did me harm, I can forgive you for that, but that's all I can do. If you sinned against God, there's nothing another man, another human being can do other than Jesus Christ. He's that mediator between us and God. Look at John chapter 1. John 1. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. Well, thank God he's also the Word. The Word. Do you have, hopefully you do. If you don't, you need to get one. But do you have a copy of God's Word? You probably have one somewhere, either in your lap, on your phone, on a device, or somewhere. Hopefully you have a copy of God's Word. If you don't, we'll give you a copy of God's Word. But every time you open up this Bible, you are connecting with Jesus Christ. Because he is the Word. We call this the Word of God. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's that talking about? Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So when you touch this Bible, when you read this Bible, you're reading and touching and you're experiencing Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I have a Bible today. I've read my Bible this morning. I just read it to you just now. You're following along. You're looking at your Bible. You're reading your Bible. So this is something that you're doing today. Tomorrow morning, I have plans of getting up and reading the Bible again tomorrow. Don't you? Say yes, because you better. You better have those plans to get up tomorrow and read God's Word. Are you going to read it later today? Or are you going to do something? But you need to spend time daily in the Word of God. This is the Word. This is something that he is today, right now. In his present ministry, he is the Word of God. And so when you read this Bible, you're reading about Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, you probably know the verse, but I'll read it to you. You can follow along, Romans 10:9. He's our advocate, he's our intercessor, he's our mediator, he's the Word of God. He's also salvation to everybody that calls upon him. If there's somebody in this room right now that's not saved, if there's somebody listening to us on Facebook right now that's not saved, today can be their day of salvation. It's never to be tomorrow. It's not to be next week. It's not to be next month. It's not to be when I get older, when I get closer to death, I'll get saved. No, because you don't know how close to death you really are. A lot of people have, most people die and they don't really know exactly when they're going to die. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is something right now that you can do. You can get saved today, right now. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. It never says, wait till next week. You know, just put it off until next. There's too many. We procrastinate on so many things. I don't know about you, but we're all procrastinators to a certain extent. Some are better than others at procrastination. And there are some that's a whole lot worse when it comes to procrastination. But every human being has some kind of procrastination within them. Boy, don't procrastinate about being saved. Because you are literally gambling with your eternity. By saying, I'll just wait till next week, or I'll wait till I really need it. Well, you don't really need it today. What if you don't have tomorrow? You really need salvation today. Amen. That rich man in Luke 16, when he died, he realized he really needed salvation before he died. Because when he died, it was too late. He was already in hell. He was already in torments, and it was too late for him. He knew he couldn't get out. It makes that very clear in the Word of God. Salvation. Christ is salvation to all that call upon Him. The entire world could be saved right now. He has enough blood. He has enough salvation. He has enough power to save the entire world right now. If every human being came to Christ right now, He would have enough power. He would be able to save them all, wouldn't He? The Bible says He's able to save to the uttermost. He's not just the salvation of America. He's the salvation of every human being that's ever been born, regardless of where they were born and in what language they spoke, what color skin they have. He is salvation to all that call upon Him. And He'll continue to do that until salvation is no longer needed. He will be available to anybody that needs to be saved. Look at Romans 5 and verse 1. I like this one. You should too. We look at our world today and we don't see a whole lot of peace in it, do we? There's not a whole lot of peace in America right now. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of turmoil. There's protests going on. People within cities declaring their own little state, their own little government, their own little whatever. we are in a turmoil. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing to know that we can have peace? Even though we're not living in a very peaceful time, we may be living in a midst of turmoil. Your life could be in a turmoil every day. Every day you get up and your life's a turmoil. You go to work and it's turmoil. And at home it's a turmoil. And your health is a turmoil. And your loved ones are in turmoil. But you can still have peace with God. No matter where it is or what you're doing, you can still have peace with God. You can have peace with God at your job, with the worst boss in the world, the worst job in the world. I hate my job. I can't stand my job. I told you this before. I used to have a guy that worked for me at Crucible that would say that practically every day. I got sick of hearing it. I said, why don't you go find another job then? Go flip burgers at Burger King and see how well you do there. And he had a great job. He had a well-paying job. But he hated his job. I hate my job, and he hated everything about it. Yet he had a great job working in a laboratory. And yet we have people like that. No matter what they do, they hate it. They can't stand it. They're in turmoil all the time. You don't have to be in turmoil all the time. You can have peace with God. And not only peace with God, you can have peace, the peace of God in your life. You can go through life every day just knowing that peace is settling. We sang about that wonderful peace just a little while ago. That's not something we just have because just... You know, coming in the future, we can be at peace in our lives anywhere we go, no matter what's going on. God can provide the peace. That's a present day ministry. Christ given us the peace that we need in our life. You need some peace today? Get it from Christ. He'll give it to you. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:47. Here's another present day ministry of Christ. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so daily, present day, Christ, first of all, he died for the church. He loves the church. Gave himself for the church, the Bible says. And he's building his church. He's working on building his church. He's saving souls and trying to get souls within the church. Because within the church is where he wants every saved person within the church. Serving within the church, giving their lives, their time, their talents, their treasures in the church. He wants people to assemble together within the church. That's what the church is all about. And so he is building and adding to the church, the Bible says daily, such as should be saved. And so as people are being saved, they're being added to the church on a daily basis. This is the present ministry of Jesus Christ. We want to see people come and be added to our church. Don't we want to see that? Amen. We have 125 chairs in here. I'd love to see every chair filled up. Amen. Every chair. I would love to look out there and not see one chair empty. And then I'd love to be able to take and build another building out in front and a bigger building. And we can seat 200 or 300 people out there. I'd love to see every seat filled with people. And so does the Lord want that. Not just the pastor or the preacher, the person in charge. No, the Lord wants that. The Lord's desire is for everybody to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. That's the desire of the Lord. He wants to meet with us in the church. That's why it's important to be in the church, trying to work on bringing people within the church, because the Lord is adding to his church. We need to find those people that need to be saved. We need to get them saved. We need to get them in the church. And so that's the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. Then the third thing is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. How about the forever? How about the future ministry of Jesus Christ? Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the future ministry of Jesus Christ is, the first thing I wrote down is, he's the coming Lord.
Amen.
He's coming. Amen. Is he coming soon? Yes. Yes, he's coming soon. When is that? We don't know. It's soon. It could be today. It could be next week. It might be 20 years from now. It could be 100 years from now. But even that, compared to 2,000 years, it's soon. The Lord's coming soon. May come in my lifetime, may not come in my lifetime. But I'm still in a win-win situation. If the Lord comes, I'm going. If the Lord doesn't, I'm still going.
Amen.
I'm just going in a different way. So, but the Lord, we know that the Lord is coming. Amen. Now, I really personally don't believe that things are worse today than they were several hundred years ago or a couple thousand years. Things were pretty bad in the time of Paul and the apostles, real bad. I mean, people were dying for their faith. There's not a whole lot of us. There are in some parts of the world, yes, don't get me wrong, but there's not a lot of people being killed like they were in the New Testament and other times during the Spanish Inquisition, during the Dark Ages. I mean, 50 million people died at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. That's the truth. Because there was people willing to preach the Word of God, and the church said, no, you don't preach the Word of God. We preach the Word of God, and you need to believe what we tell you. I gave you the illustration in Sunday school about John Huss, how he was burned at the stake. Simply, he was a Catholic priest that got saved and realized that you don't get saved by works, you get saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
And he started preaching that in the Catholic Church, and people were getting saved in the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church didn't like that, and they took him out and they burned him at the stake.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? How'd you like to be taken out and burned at the stake? No, you wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that. But there's the coming Lord. That's his future ministry. And we have so much as a Christian to look forward to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you believe that? I believe that. And I'm looking forward to that someday. That could be soon. That could be at any time now. We believe in Christ coming at any moment. And so the future ministry of Christ is he's preparing to come back. He's preparing us a place in heaven. That's present time right now, but it's also, he's still, I don't know if he's done preparing the place in heaven. I don't know if it's all done and ready for him to come back and take us home to be with him. We don't know that. But I do know that the future ministry of Christ is he's the coming Lord. He's coming for us. He's coming for his saved people. And then the tribulation takes place and the Antichrist comes on the scene. And the mark of the beast and the horrible things that you read about in the book of Daniel, especially in the book of Revelation, is going to take place. But Jesus is coming back soon. Not only is he our coming Lord, but he's secondly our judging Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 20. You know that nobody is going to escape the judgment of God. Christians will be judged at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. And all the lost will be judged at the great white throne judgment. We see that here in Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You want your name in the book of life. Amen. You want your name in the book of life. And you get your name in the book of life by being saved. And so if you're not saved today, you need to make sure that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a judgment coming. The judge is Jesus Christ. The future ministry of Christ is someday that is where every lost person is going to stand in front of Christ and be judged according to your own ways, according to your own works. And then you'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Sad, sad ending. That doesn't have to be that sad ending. No human being has to go there. You, if you're not saved, you don't have to go there. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not becoming a Baptist. You don't have to give me, $500 to be saved. We don't do that. You trust Christ. You admit that you're a sinner. Come on, admit it. You know you are. Admit the fact that you're a sinner. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe upon him and ask him to save you. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And so the future ministry of Christ is he's the coming Lord. He's the judging Lord. But he's also going to be the ruling king over all the earth. The ruling king over all the earth. What a future ministry Jesus Christ has. He will literally be present here upon this earth for 1,000 years. And he'll be ruling and reigning here from Jerusalem, here upon this planet. And we'll be able to experience that and see that. As I said a little while ago, he's going to straighten all this mess out. He's the only one that can straighten this mess out. It's Jesus Christ. He's our ruling king. He will be our ruling king over all the earth. The ministry of Christ, and we just scratched the surface today. There's so much, included in these 66 books in this Bible, that time would not allow us to look at everything. But to hit the past ministry of Christ and to hit the present ministry of Christ and his future ministry, I just wanted us to spend a little bit of time and really focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. How important is he? How important is he to you? How important is this Bible to you? I think I put it in the bulletin. William Tyndale literally sacrificed everything, his life and everything, to give us a copy of the Word of God in English so we could read. He literally died as a result of his ability to translate the Word of God. So what does your Bible mean? Does it mean anything to you? Is it something that you actually open up every day and thank God for it and read the Word of God, that countless people died as a result of getting this Bible into our hands? But we don't realize that today. You and I, we need to be thankful for this book and not just take it for granted and not just grab it and bring it to church on Sunday or whenever else you go to church. You need to pick this Bible up every day and just read the words from the pages of this book. And remember that people died preparing this Bible for us. People died. Millions. Thousands. I don't know how many people died to give us this Bible, but so many did. And we have people today, Christians, people that call themselves Christians, don't even take time and read the Bible. Shame. Shame on us. Shame on us. The ministry of Christ is past, present, and future. He died for you on the cross. He wants to save your soul if you're not saved. Now, if you are saved, Christian, aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. Don't you want to serve the Savior that saved your soul? You should want to serve Him. You should want to obey Him. You should want to honor Him in everything that you do. You should strive to live a righteous, holy life because of Christ. And so let's do that today. Let's make that our goal as a Christian. Make it a goal to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, please. I can't make you. We don't force anybody to get saved, but please, please, trust Christ as your Savior today. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this copy that we have, this copy that I have in front of me. What a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege to have a copy of your Holy Bible. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray, thank you for your past ministry, your present ministry. Lord, we thank you for the future ministry that you're going to be involved in. I pray that we as Christians would realize these things and we would have a better appreciation for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. Lord, speak to hearts right now. If there's somebody listening outside of these walls that's not saved, I pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And Lord, I pray that they would bow their heads wherever they are right now and they would admit the fact that they're a sinner. They would say that they believe upon you and they would call upon your name right now. Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody in this room, we pray that before they leave this building, that they would get the attention of somebody and we would be more than willing to sit down with them and show them from the scriptures how they can trust Christ, trust you as Lord and Savior. So Lord, bless this time that we have together now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.